1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Michael Cohen continues testimony today at former President Trump's criminal hush money trial. Monday, jurors heard Cohen detail his role in facilitating payments to women who claimed they had had affairs with Trump. ABC's Aaron Katursky says he also laid out his role in the aftermath of the tape in which Trump bragged about grabbing women.
Cohen testified Trump told him to spin it, and the spin that he wanted to put on it was that this is locker room talk, something that Melania had recommended. Seated at the defense table, Trump appeared to make a face when he heard that, one of his few reactions to Cohen's testimony. For much of it, Trump shut his eyes in seeming disinterest.
Today, President Biden will announce increased tariffs on Chinese-made products, including electric vehicles. Those tariffs will quadruple. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Ukraine, pledging more U.S. support. And there could be severe weather today in the Florida Panhandle and later on in central and northern Florida. This is ABC News. There's another federal investigation into a self-driving car project, this one involving Waymo. Federal officials have nearly two dozen reports of Waymo vehicles either getting into crashes or breaking traffic laws over the last month. Voters in Washington state who may have Bob Ferguson fatigue are getting some relief.
Sending cease and desist letters to two candidates for governor named Bob Ferguson, Washington State Attorney General and Democratic frontrunner Bob Ferguson. They entered the race Friday. Letters threatening legal action worked, the two other Bob Fergusons dropping out. The frontrunner, Ferguson, claims a conservative activist paid the filing fee for the two other Bob Fergusons. He claims the intent was to confuse voters and diminish votes. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Judge Judy's headed to court, but she'll be on the other side of the bench. Judy Scheinland suing a tabloid publisher over a story claiming she was trying to help the Menendez brothers get a new trial after the murder of their parents. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Welcome to the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Progressive presents 10 things on a plumber's to-do list that are harder than getting a small business insurance quote. Waking up for 5 a.m. plumbing disasters, finding out why water is pouring from the ceiling, replacing a pipe in a home from the 1800s, then dealing with invoices or your awkward apprentice or that really weird smell, and then there's breathing and eating and, of course, clogs. But the easiest thing on any small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you could save on the business insurance that's right for you. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Canadian wildfire smoke is back. That's why skies were hazy over Wisconsin Monday. Air quality alerts were issued for several counties. The Department of Natural Resources says small particles may make air unhealthy for some people, especially the very young, the very old, and people with heart or lung conditions. Most rural voters favor economic policies that lower costs and raise incomes for the working class. Patrick Toomey helped conduct a new poll for Breakthrough Campaigns.
Just cutting taxes and getting rid of regulations is not going to do the most to help me in this economy.
The poll shows rural voters agree with many Democratic policy positions, but think Republicans are doing more for working people. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Pirates chipped away through 9 innings to win 8-6. Pittsburgh's Brian Reynolds went 5-for-5 with a pair of singles, 2 doubles, and then connected on a home run.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Just had good self-talk in the box to myself and got some pitches to hit.
Brewers first baseman Rhys Hoskins suffering a hamstring injury running the bases. He's undergoing an MRI. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Rhys's injury, obviously he's got a hamstring. We don't know anything more. I have an MRI in the morning. You know, to lose one of our leaders, we just got Yelly back. That's a big blow. Usually hamstrings are not better in a few days. You know what I mean?
Elsewhere, the Cubs lost to the Braves in Atlanta, the final score 2-0. NBA, Thanasis Antetokounmpo underwent surgery to repair a torn Achilles he suffered during workouts last week in training. Doctors say the procedure went fine, but the 31-year-old expected to miss the upcoming season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy this morning, gradually becoming sunny as we head through the afternoon today. Our high 67 with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear down to 43. Tomorrow, sunshine 72 with scattered thunderstorms likely late tomorrow night into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what would a second Trump administration mean to our health care? The former head of the American Medical Association joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 11. You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
What if you want coffee?
Coffee.
Lacked coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live.
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Yeah. Okay, we will. Thank you.
Well, I think the barrel
the wheel barrel
is just fantastic.
Yeah.
You know,
it worked pretty well.
It has worked well.
Yeah. Thank goodness I had it in my trunk. I just, yeah, here we go. So, well, I've been cleaning, you know, I'm moving and cleaning and, you know, going to storage areas that I had stuff I forgot about. And yeah, moving to the new place. And, you know, goodness sakes, I find this barrel that barrel.
Do you have a table with cups and a little pee that you.
Yes, I've got that. I've got that. All I've right. got some other things I'll bring in from time to time, some props.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, I think we've got a few responses here, texts in regards to Colin Jost and what that whole thing was
about. Yeah, we were trying to figure out the joke.
Let's hear the joke again.
A little bit of background. So, Pete Davidson and Colin Jost apparently got together and bought a $34 million ferry.
Yeah. Of course.
Because they wanted to renovate it into a traveling hotel and restaurant on the water in New York.
$33 million?
$34 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Missed it by a
chunk of change. And then this was the joke that we didn't get from SNL earlier.
All right. Okay. Here it is.
Marks the first time since 2009 that a Marvel movie has not kicked off the summer movie season, which better be a one-time thing because a lot of people rely on Marvel movies to pay for the ferries they bought.
Okay.
So now we understand the
Scarlett
joke.
Johansson gets all the royalties and it pays for the boat.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a New York joke.
Explains a lot.
No wonder we couldn't figure it out. Okay.
Well, why do the people applaud? Well, they know.
Apparently,
I think it was a big New York City.
Oh, I knew that. Well, they're going to run it around this ferry that they bought is going to be a New York thing.
I think they have canned laughter.
No, I don't think so.
Can we scroll a little bit on this one here? There's one
on
about
the
Girl Scouts.
You can, John. You have the mouse.
Oh,
you. I was asking.
Gordy. We worked together a long time.
Just there we scroll.
Go.
There you go.
Is that where you
I was
wanted
in the
it?
Scouts as a kid, and then I had a daughter who was in the Scouts and Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. You learn a lot of skills that help you through life.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a very good point. It's all about.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Robert, from McFarland.
For boys, you know, they learn how to swing an axe, and for girls, they learn how to deal with life.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, look at the badges you guys are after.
You were an Eagle Scout, so it worked. You enjoyed it. You learned a lot of life skills. It was a good thing for you. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay.
Were there baking skills? Was there a badge for that?
I never did baking. There was cooking, though. And by the time that I was getting ready to do my Eagle, for some reason they made cooking merit badge not be required for like 10 years.
They should have.
Yeah, and then they reinstated it as one of the required ones.
Oh, okay, great.
So,
how many merit badges did you end up with?
I don't think I ever counted, but probably 30-something. Yeah.
Do you still fit into the uniform? Why don't you wear it some morning?
Oh, no.
Come on.
Oh, wait,
you
yeah,
got it
yeah,
in the closet.
Yeah,
come on.
I actually do have it in my closet.
Okay,
down here.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. Why don't you wear it tomorrow?
I will do that just for you, Gordy.
Okay, the whole thing. I don't want just the shirt. I want the whole uniform.
Oh, I don't have I don't have the pants or anything here right now.
You know,
the shirt.
We'll have to post a picture of it on Facebook.
All right. Well, whatever you got, bring it in tomorrow.
I mean, it's got, you know, the Volkswagen. Have we done that? Have we posted that on Facebook?
No, we still haven't.
How about the bicycle? Well, we're going to have to take a picture of that and post that. And now you in your Boy Scout uniform with all the badges.
The Johnny Gordy Facebook page is just going to become my personal Facebook.
Put a picture of the new barrel of stories. We got to put a picture of that on there.
Roll out the barrel.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's get to
something. We're going
to
beat to death.
Now, something more current.
This is a current story.
All right, let's get on it.
And I heard this on the news yesterday, and I thought, wow, that's really interesting stuff, because we often talk about the rural and urban divide.
Right.
You know, Republicans over the last 15 years have really created that divide. They want the rural communities to hate people in the cities because they're getting all the money. Well, they're big cities. You know, they get a little bit more money proportionally. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a new poll of data in Battleground State, Wisconsin, came out. And in other battleground states as well, by the way, not just Wisconsin. It came out, and they tried to figure out what's on the minds of rural voters and what is it that they like about Republicans or Democrats in this case.
Yeah.
And the poll released by the Rural Democracy Initiative includes researcher and partner of Breakthrough Campaign said the approach appears more popular than one often touted in the GOP politician circles. Mm-hmm. You know, the Republicans always say that their policies fit best for rural Republicans and voters out there, but it's not necessarily true at this point. Just cutting taxes and getting rid of regulations is not going to do the most to help those in the rural communities and help their economies. While economic policies aligned with Democrats, such as minimum wage hikes, are favorable in this poll, even to rural voters, many rural voters indicated they think, for some reason, because it's repetitively said over and over by Republicans, that Republicans are doing more for the working people.
Mm-hmm.
Three-quarters of respondents either support the right to abortion or do not want the government interfering with decisions on reproductive health care.
Mm-hmm.
Another popular Democratic position.
Right. And they're with that.
Yeah. And more than 1,700 voters in 10 states were part of this poll. So in other words, a lot of the policies that Democrats are pushing are very popular in rural areas, but it's because Republicans keep saying that they're for the working man and they're for the farmers and the small rural communities that they keep getting the votes.
And a lot of it is family farmers or, you know, farms that have been in the family for generations.
Right.
They just tend to, you know, continue to vote Republican because their dad or their grandparents did. And they, you know, and so that's who runs locally in some of the local elections. There's a lot of Republicans and they tend to just vote that way just out of tradition.
That's right. And there have been, you know, some bad rules and regulations that the Democrats have pushed over time, and those have faded into the distance. They've gotten rid of those, and I can see why they'd be angry about it. But there are a lot of positions that the Republicans have taken in a lot of laws that they have put in place that really have hurt rural voters, but they don't seem to notice or care about those things.
Mm-hmm. So, what about the, you know, like the fight for getting internet to access in the rural areas?
They didn't care at all. They wanted they wanted free market competition to bring the internet to every part of the state, which wasn't happening.
It wasn't
would never
happen.
Have happened ever. And so when Evers was elected governor, started that ball rolling, and the Republicans kind of started jumping on board a little bit. And then, of course, Biden came in and put billions into each and every state in order to bring the internet, fiber optic internet, to every corner of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think they're ever going to get credit? Probably not.
Mm-mm.
Probably not. Because of some, you know, ridiculous law about rivers and streams and waterways and pollution. I get it. I get it. Maybe some of that stuff went a little bit too far. We get that.
Mm-hmm.
We oppose some of the things that Democrats do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, maybe someday with this poll and we can start bringing people together a little bit more and we can start integrating rural voters and the work they do into the discussion a little bit more often. I think it's the fault of the Democratic Party, really.
Well,
not addressing it. Now, I think a lot of them are doing it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the poll that you're talking about, again, more than 1,700 voters in 10 states. So that's a pretty, a good poll, you know, to go with.
I mean,
So, all right.
Well.
Hey, we want to remind you that tomorrow we'll be at Short Stack Eatery, and our special guest will be Mike McCabe from Blue Jean Nation, formerly of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's an author, a writer, and that'll be a lot of fun to have Mike McCabe at Short Stack tomorrow.
Yeah, he's got a lot of great positions.
Mm-hmm.
Should we go back to the barrel again?
Do we need to?
I guess we should.
Okay.
I mean, we're trying
really?
To blow out these. Sorry, this is a week of rolling out the barrel.
All right, well, let's roll the barrel. Got the barrel, might as well roll it.
Here, let me. I got the handle here.
Yeah, I know. You got a handle on it. Here we go. It's out of control.
Okay. Okay. Well, reach in. Reach in. See what we got.
It's number 14A.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. I just happened to have that story handy.
Oops. Well,
and that is cut
away.
71.
Okay.
Cut
What's
71.
What's the story about, John?
Well, it is about bringing prop money with you in your car. Now,
what?
This is an interesting little thing.
Prop money.
Yes, prop money. Well, let's just listen to the story from John McEntee. He's a senior advisor to Project 2025. Let's check it out. He likes to play tricks on homeless people. Let's see what it is.
So I always keep this fake Hollywood money in my car.
Yeah.
So when a homeless person asks for money, then I give them like a fake $5 bill. So I feel good about myself. They feel good.
Okay.
And then when they go to use it, they get arrested. So I'm actually like helping clean up the community. You know, getting them off the street.
Yep, that's the kind of people
that's horrible.
Are going to be a part of the Trump administration if that ever happened. This is a guy who lost his security clearance for gambling debts in the Trump White House, only later to get rehired as White House Director of Personnel.
All right.
And he's admitting to committing felonies with fake money and getting people arrested for using it.
Wow.
The best people ever.
How low can you go?
That's truly just amazing.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Okay. Man.
Well, this is I think this has been working out really well.
You like the barrel of old stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it's working well so far.
You know, some people that really like
more?
Polka music, they don't like Roll Out the Barrel. Because
why
would they?
It's like one of the most generic polka songs.
It is.
It's so overplayed.
Okay. Well,
and
what other song has barrel in it?
I have an old 45 that I found of a disco polka version of Roll Out the Barrel from the 70s. I need to copy that and bring it in.
All right.
Absolutely. Okay. That would really kind of update us here.
do we have any more stories in the barrel here? I don't know if we have time at the moment.
I don't think we have enough time for this.
All right.
Nothing too short here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but we've got a lot of stories.
Oh,
we got a stack of these stories.
We got plenty.
I think they're interesting, don't you?
Coming up. Yes,
okay.
I do. We've got a story coming up about immigrant flights. Well, it's a secret Biden plot, right?
That's right.
Oh.
Secret Biden plot.
Okay.
You won't believe
coming
this.
Up.
This is a current story.
All right. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the MaxSync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town. More visits and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
More call bell, please.
Yeah.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM. All of your social media dial. Tune in anytime and watch on Facebook,
YouTube,
X,
Instagram.
Gordy, were you trying to use your mouse and your coffee and mug coffee as mug a cowbell?
I was. It didn't sound like it, did
we
it?
We need to get a cowbell in here.
You know, I just happen to have one in the trunk of my car. Oh, wait. I do have one at home.
They aren't loud. I don't know if these mics can handle that.
It's a big cowbell.
Yeah. We have to walk around the rest of the office playing it.
Oh, I'm sure that would go over well here.
Hey, we got a call from Mark.
Okay.
Mark's on the line waiting for us to kind of get to him. So let's take that call before we forget.
Okay.
We do that a lot.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, guys. I just think this guy that's confessed to handing out fake $5 bills should just arrest him. I mean, the guy has admitted to committing a crime. He's confessed. I mean, he committed.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
I mean, I'm just kind of speechless over this whole thing. When I read it the other couple of days ago, it just is. The venality of this bastard.
Again.
It just is something else.
How low can you go?
Just arrest him.
The best part of this is that this story caught on. It really caught fire on X and all of social media. It just really took off because it is such a horrible, devious thing to do and to brag about it.
Yeah.
It's scary. And these are the kind of people we're going to put into the next administration if that ever happens. I hope this is kind of a warning shot, essentially.
Yeah, let's hope. Okay.
All right, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thanks for that call.
All right, let's get to something that this is also very popular. Stephen Miller.
Lord.
This is the George Goebbels. Well, I mean, Goebbels. Not George Goebbels.
George Goebbels is a different...
By the way, George Goebbels, great show, right?
Yeah. He had a crew cut and a guitar and told funny stories.
Do you think anybody remembers George?
You and I and, probably nobody else.
Nobody, right? And this guy made history. I mean, he brought a lot of good people, lot of great comedians to the fore.
Mm-hmm.
And
he had a show back in the late 50s, early 60s.
That's right.
A frequent guest on The Tonight Show. And
yes.
They would make fun of him because he was kind of goofy and old-fashioned.
Goofy. But I think he brought Carol Burnett out.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Introduce her.
Yeah.
Her wild antics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the public. Anyway.
But
Goebbels is a different version of George Goebbels.
He had a different act. He had a different thing going on.
Yeah, that was quite a senior moment right there, right?
I guess.
George Goebbels.
You were only a syllable off.
Okay, anyway.
Do we have to explain who Stephen Goebbels Miller, was?
Stephen Miller, by the way, is the one who came up with the idea of separating family from their children at the border.
Yeah.
That was his big deal, and he loves it.
Ugh.
And he is brutally cold. If you ever watched any of the messages that he sent out on social media, you'd think it was like a Max Headroom version of a real person. But I did record it, and I think this is something that we all really, it's just as scary as anything can possibly be. Now, he is taking off on a rumor, something that really is not true. Mm-hmm. Let's play this. This is cut 78.
Okay. I'm Stephen Miller with America First Legal. We proudly stand with Attorney General Ken Paxton and other brave AGs across America fighting in court to stop Biden's secret migrant flights of illegals into American cities. This vast clandestine migrant smuggling operation is carried out by the Biden administration as they fly.
Okay. Okay, let's just get to the Biden policy on this, all right? Mm-hmm. Under the Biden policy, in effect since January 2023, up to 30,000 people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela can enter the country monthly if they apply online with a financial sponsor and arrive at a specified airport paying their own way. So this is, and this is, by the way, on a government website. It's right out there. You can read it anytime you want. This isn't some clandestine operation by Biden. Let's continue this ridiculous diatribe.
Okay. Fly illegals right over the border and import them into our cities and towns without any public exposure. Oh. This is a covert plan to resettle our communities, and we must use every legal tool we have to stop it. I need you to click this video to support our urgent work to save America right now.
Save America from DeSantis' flights to Martha's Vineyard? That was secret. They never tell anyone in those cities that they're coming. So, you know, the thing is, this is all projection. It is just an amazing amount of projection. You heard Stephen Miller basically say that he is doing this secretly and flying these immigrants into our country and into Biden's different cities.
Yeah, Biden is doing
all over the country, right? Oh my gosh, you can't do that. Yet DeSantis has done it. Florida directed two flights of immigrants to Texas, from Texas to Sacramento.
Right.
12,500 migrants to Washington, D.C. 37,100 migrants to New York City, 30,800 migrants to Chicago, 3,400 migrants to Philadelphia. Seriously, and none of those cities were warned that any of these people were coming there. And Stephen Miller is saying that Biden is the one who he's bringing immigrants into this country secretly? Seriously.
Yeah.
It's
projection.
It blows your mind the amount of projection that is going on here.
Absolutely. And they continue to do it and be proud of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in fact, there was a recent case. We look for it. This actually happened a couple of days ago. Florida officials recently won a court case saying that it was legal for them to actually have these flights and take the immigrants to other cities. It's okay to do that. There is one caveat, though. According to the court, these immigrants can sue the airline that took them to these cities for discriminating against them because of their race. These airlines are taking these immigrants to these cities. They're not saying why they're going, what they're going to.
They're not
promising the jobs. And sometimes they are promising jobs and a place for them to stay. And it's all illegal. And these immigrants, if they've been told this or not told certain things, they can sue the airlines that are involved in this. So my idea is, well, good luck trying to find an airline to help you now sending these immigrants all over the country. Again, this is just decided by a court. Yeah. So these states are going to have to wonder, well, you know, what airline is going to, like, be a sucker enough to put themselves on the line for liability by bringing these immigrants in and sending them to other cities.
To watch that case.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's it. I think that'll put an end to this.
Perhaps.
Unless there's a dumbass airline that, you know, doesn't matter.
Like dumbass airlines, they fly out of Madison, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Down to Vegas.
Yes, they've got quite a schedule.
Yes, they do. Hey, coming up, should Dropboxes be legal again? Well, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin is taking that up.
Into it, yeah.
Okay.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Top Chef effect still being felt here in Wisconsin. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. That Top Chef effect is turning into more sales for some of our dairy companies. Details on the way.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
The Bravo Network bringing the popular foodie show Top Chef to Wisconsin's turning into sales. Rachel Kerr, senior branding manager with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, says she's getting very positive feedback from any dairy company that's already been featured in the show.
We've heard from those cheese makers that they are getting so many great compliments or calls from their customers, from their wholesalers, from their buyers. And there's a lot of excitement. They're getting a lot of great attention on social media. So there's going to be more conversations around these products. And one of the cheesemakers even had an increase of web sales by 3,000% while the show was airing and had to bring in an additional truck to pick up all the orders that were placed because it was broadcast on national television.
Rachel Kerr, senior brand manager with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. A fresh episode of Top Chef Wisconsin will air on the Bravo Network Wednesday evening.
Any lender can tell you about banking, but few know the business ins and outs of farming and ranching. That's where Compere Financial stands apart. We are here with unparalleled ag industry expertise, a forward-thinking mindset to identify your challenges and opportunities, and the ability to support smart decision-making for your operation. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
And while a lot of Wisconsin farmers are being challenged by tough commodity prices and higher input costs, the value of the farmland they're working with continues to escalate, especially here in Wisconsin. According to bankers in the first quarter survey for 2024, the 7th Federal Reserve District saw Wisconsin's farmland values go up 3% in just the first quarter of 2024. It's up 10% compared to a year ago. One Wisconsin banker said that farmland value continues to climb simply because there's not much of it that goes up for sale. That's a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy this morning, gradually becoming sunny as we head through the afternoon today. Our high 67 with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear down to 43. Tomorrow, sunshine 72 with scattered thunderstorms likely late tomorrow night into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Hi, Gordy Kopke here. When I first invited folks to my farm 40 years ago, I could never have dreamed that would become the area's largest greenhouse. With a focus on quality plants at reasonable prices and a special emphasis on customer service, we have received the People's Choice Award as Madison area's best greenhouse. Located 2 miles east of Oregon in the beautiful town of Dunn, I invite you out to see why we are not only the area's largest greenhouse, but also the best.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WIS Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the host of Civic Media's The Maggie Dawn Show, Maggie Dawn, and Bigfoot tracker and enthusiast, Mike Desitel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
John and Gordy on the radio, 92.7 is the place to go.
It's us, John and Gordy, Tuesday morning, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. John, did you hear this story yesterday? They had a big press conference. Remember that skeleton story, the skeleton that was stuck in the chimney at Good and Loud Music? Mm-hmm. It was discovered back in September 3rd,
1989. A horror story, really.
Yeah. Well, they made an announcement yesterday. They had a big press conference, and it turned out they were able to, with modern DNA technology, mm-hmm. because they just found like a hair.
Right.
Some very tiny, you know, hair that they found.
And how they traced it is a whole different story.
Yeah. But after more than three decades, they identified it to Ronnie Joe Kirk mm-hmm. was the gentleman's name. And apparently, police unearthed that skeleton after the owner of the Good and Loud Music on University Avenue, which was a great music store, by the way. Mm-hmm. I used to go yep. there all the time mm-hmm. back in the day. And a lot of people did. They originally spotted a skull that was visible through a pipe connecting the boiler to the building's chimney. I mean, this story is really amazing. But they didn't know for all this time until yesterday.
Right. This person entered from outside into the chimney somehow. Apparently. Got stuck.
Yeah.
You know, when it came out, I thought maybe, you know, he had died. Not just from struggling or, you know, through time. I thought maybe exhaust.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it was a chimney of some sort. Sure.
So I was hoping at least that happened.
Yeah.
But you would have heard somebody screaming or yelling.
Well, you would think, unless it was in the middle of the night and then he panicked and passed out or something. You know, I don't know. How did, you know, there's still a lot of details. But, you know, Doug Moe. The Madison writer was all over that story back in 1989 and 90. I remember that. And now he's working that story again. He called me yesterday.
He's updating everything. He's updating and ending that story.
And we're going to get him on the show real soon here and talk to him about it. But he's going to do an update on that story, which will kind of close the loop on that mystery of all these years.
That's right.
Yeah.
So. And the mystery of John and Gordy, he'll be getting deeper into that story.
Yes. Well, yeah. Yeah, he's going to do a write-up on us, I think. Yeah.
We'll force him to do that by suggesting it here on the air.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, it's what an interesting and weird story that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll find out more. Doug's going to have an article real soon, I think, on Channel 3000 or Madison Magazine.
That's right. I've got a fantastic story and song.
A song?
Song for everybody. This
what
I am really excited about this story. I really like this one.
Well, what is this?
I'm going to spring this on you.
Yeah, I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
It's an Italian song.
Okay.
With nonsense lyrics.
All right.
Meant to sound like American English.
Okay.
All right,
Where did you find this?
Got the idea here?
Well, I think it's
an Italian singer
who
came up with lyrics that sound like American English, but they're nonsense words.
Okay.
And
hey, I'm game.
And there was a reason why he did this. This Italian singer, Adriano Celentano, released a song in the 70s with nonsense lyrics meant to sound like American English, apparently to prove Italians would like any English song. That was his point.
Okay.
And
not
only did he put this song out, and it's cut 63, but it became a huge hit. And this was in 1972. I can't even pronounce the title of the song.
Let's see. Well, I mean, it was a huge song in Italy, or
here's the yeah.
It's a nonsensical word.
It's like a 30-letter word,
right?
But you got to listen to this. It's actually a really good song.
Well, we'll be the judge of that.
And you got to see the video on this because it kicks ass.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Well, let's listen to the song and see if you can recognize some of the nonsense lyrics.
Okay. Chance of my big to call. Baby, just stay yet, Miss Joe.
Steve, it can't be Steve. You know, for time and number, just got David to jam.
Okay.
Are these even words, John?
No,
they're nonsense.
They're fake words.
They sound English, though. Keep it up. Go ahead.
So that this was a big hit in Italy?
Yes.
Okay, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Find this.
You know,
what were you searching for that led to this,
yeah,
John?
Right.
Well, a Megahead said something really, really horrific about young girls and being fertile. And I had to look it up to see if it was an actual quote. It seemed like it might have been something somebody created. So I went to Snopes.
Oh, okay.
And this is one of the top authority stories on Snopes. It was right there. And I thought, wow, what is that all about?
I've heard of this song before. I've never listened to it. But I heard about this from a meme like quite a few years ago. But it's even weirder than I ever expected it to be.
Yes. And it's catchy as
strange.
That. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of monotonous, but yeah, it is catchy.
It is. Yeah. And there's a second video of him doing the song in color this time.
Okay.
That was a black and white version, and it was very, very surreal, very militaristic in some way. Mm. But then the color version that he did, reenacting what he did originally, lip syncing, of course, he was a teacher in front of a class of women who were grooving to the music and to the lyrics.
Okay.
And it's all very surreal. If you have a chance to check it out on YouTube, let's give the guy's name.
Put it on our Facebook page. Maybe we can do that.
Adriano Celentano.
Okay.
All right. Just
all right.
Check it out if you can. Snopes. It'll be right there, I think. I don't know whether they put the top stories always at the top on their homepage, but you should check that out. It's entertaining as hell. Of course, I find stuff like that entertaining. I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's fine.
I'm a media guy.
It's just unusual and strange. And I'd heard something about this song too, but I'd never heard it before.
And it's true. You know, in Europe, American songs were very, very popular.
There are a lot of American artists that do really much better in Europe.
Actually,
with
that's
their,
true.
A lot of song singer songwriters that do really well in Europe, but are hardly noticed.
Well,
here
it inspired the British invasion.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there you go. So I'm hearing now the big headline for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. You know, they're going to reconsider these drop boxes. Right?
Yes.
And whether they should be, because, you know, it is election year, so let's kind of figure some of this stuff out before election
day.
You
think? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe
that would
we
work,
could
right?
get a final word on whether they're legal or not.
Well, every time they bring the story up about anything the Supreme Court is taking a look at, they always call it liberal. They never really made a big point of it before.
Right.
When they had a very extreme activist, conservative Supreme Court that just made up things constantly. I mean, when they basically banned masks and stay-at-home orders by the governor, they called it tyrannical. This is, again, public health. This is public health. This isn't some political thing or a ploy to gain power in this country or in this state.
Mm-hmm.
It was a public health issue to save people's lives. But this court, or the conservative former court, said it was tyrannical. And that was a popular word in the mega right. And the court was using a mega right term to come to a conclusion in law.
Okay.
It didn't make any sense at all. But anyway, this liberal court now is poised to overturn the previous conservative majority's nearly two-year-old ruling that essentially barred the use of absentee ballot drop boxes in the state.
I can't believe this, that we're still talking about this. It just seems like it's just there for your convenience, these absentee drop boxes.
That's all it is. Yes.
And they're well guarded. They're well, you know, I mean, there's no problem with them. There's never been any issues, really.
No
where
issues.
Where anybody's broken into them or stolen them.
It's not addressed in law. And that's the point that I think should be important here.
Mm.
There's no law banning them. There's no law mentioning them.
Mm-hmm.
Law has never said that there would be a drop box. It's something that came out of the clear blue sky. There's nothing banning it or supporting it. It's they were just there. And like you say, it's a convenience.
Yes.
That these election officials put out there, especially during COVID, to make it easier for people to do it. But by the way, it predates.
Yes.
It predates COVID.
Right.
The drop boxes were there before that.
Mm-hmm.
Justice Dalit questioned the previous arguments made by the state legislature in support of the use of absentee ballot boxes, including in 2020 when GOP lawmakers said the boxes were expressly authorized and lawful. Now, they're saying they're lawful, even though there's no law addressing drop boxes at all. But they in 2020, they approved them, expressly authorized and lawful. That was the question from Justice Dalit to the people in the legislature saying that this is illegal. And she said, this was not something you were obviously concerned about at all in 2020.
Right.
And the state responded that no one had raised any legal objections to drop boxes at that time. That's not an argument. I'm sorry. She kind of caught you by surprise there.
Yeah.
Now, conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn asked, why does it matter that the legislature takes a different view of the statute for us to read the statute faithfully? There is no statute regarding the whole issue of drop boxes.
No statute.
Brian?
You can't read it.
Yeah, there's nothing there. I don't know what he's talking about.
There's no there.
What reference point is that?
I don't know.
And so, and by the way, these Supreme Courts all over are using historical references.
Mm.
So historically, the GOP supported the drop boxes at one time. So why can't we use that standard, the standard that Republican Supreme Courts all over the country are now using?
Yeah. Somehow they've turned the page, and now they don't like the drop boxes because they want to suppress the voting.
And because
restricted.
Trump brought attention to the drop boxes.
Yes, and
And so they're trying to fall in line with that, and they're trying to argue something that isn't addressed at all in law.
Mm. Yeah. So where does it go from
currently,
here?
I think,
so they're going
to. So I think this Supreme Court now, with the liberal lean that it has, is going to say there are no laws addressing this at all, and that election officials can have the drop boxes out there because it makes it just more convenient for people to drop their ballots off.
It seems pretty easy and simple.
And by the way, it works.
It works
in conservative areas. It works in urban areas.
It
doesn't discriminate.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, and if a rural area doesn't want to put a drop box in, that's their decision.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. So
we're not talking fairness here. It's up to the election officials in each and every area to put the drop boxes in. If they don't do it, then we'll talk to somebody in the city about it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's your thing.
Okay, right.
Make it easy.
Absolutely.
But I think we're going to have that approved by this election, and I hope these drop boxes return.
Oh, please. We need the ballot boxes out there. The drop boxes must be out there. Okay. 7:48, and when we come back, tidbits, leftovers. Oh, yeah. We've got them.
We're going to roll out the barrel again.
All right.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes.
That doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hubde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Man, dig this crazy pad. Man, it's a mad pad.
It is. Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, all over your social media dial and the Civic Media app as well. You can text us or give us a call. We've been getting a lot of texts. And from Mark, of course, he texted us and said, I remember when the conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court made everything Scott Walker legal did was legal. They got rid of the John Doe investigation. They waved their hand and just got rid of an investigation into Scott Walker.
Just
like
it,
that.
Huh?
Just dropped it.
Yeah.
Grand jury. Who cares?
Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah.
It was
move on. Nothing to see here.
It was absolutely stunning. Breathtaking.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it is. Thanks, Mark, for reminding us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Mm. Okay.
Hey, should we talk about Pete Buttigieg?
Let's talk about Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah,
what's he up to these days? Running the Department of Transportation, making sure all the planes land on time. What's he up to?
Well,
what's he saying?
A Twitter X thing came out of him articulating why Republicans behave the way they do and how it harms people more than it could ever help them. Why don't we check this out? This is Cut 79 and Pete Buttigieg.
There's a more superficial political pattern that I think has driven some of the politics of the behavior of people like these people in Florida that don't say gay bill. And that is, when all you have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a culture war. So you got a political faction that really doesn't have a lot of answers for many of the questions that people are wrestling with. They love talking about gas prices, but they don't have an answer on gas prices. They don't have an answer on inflation. Many of them answered our call for bipartisan infrastructure work with a no. Haven't seen an answer on what to do about the price of prescription drugs. They voted against lowering that. Don't have an answer on what to do about the cost of childcare. Don't have a great answer on taxes. Actually want to raise taxes for the poor. That's a new one. I thought I'd seen it all. Then I saw Senator Scott's proposal to raise taxes for the poor. That's not great territory for them to be debating on. So what do? They find somebody vulnerable and pick on them, which at the moment is largely the trans community. And they find something to talk about, which can go between the laughable, like, is Donald Duck going to make your kid gay, to the incredibly dark, which is the suggestion that the very presence of someone who is gender nonconforming or trans or gay or lesbian or otherwise different, the very existence of somebody like that is an adult subject, right? That if my kids in, let's say, a first grade classroom were to mention in passing that over the weekend they had a great time going with their dads to the zoo, that they would have somehow, by saying that, uttered something age inappropriate and get us really fired up about that fight.
Yeah.
Wow. That's profound.
Pretty profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't really have solutions. They just whine and complain about everything and act like they would have possibly some kind of solution somewhere. We've seen their work in the House, and that work has ended up doing nothing at all. They can't agree on anything. Everyone has their different idea in the House. All the mega Republicans have different thoughts on policy. and they can't agree to anything at all.
Well, and I think what he said there about picking on the vulnerable, that's really rings true. That, you know, from anything from disabled people to trans to, I mean, you name it, that's who they target, and that's who they're picking on, and they continue to do that. Pete Buttigieg, I wonder who was he talking to there? Who was he addressing?
I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know, but pretty good stuff. You know what I've learned from that?
What?
Is that when I do have a story that I'm passionate about, we're going to play music underneath it.
I thought for a moment, you know, Pete's a very accomplished piano player, and I thought, well, maybe he's playing the
piano. That's right, he does play piano.
While he was
he?
Talking, but you know, he's really like a classically trained pianist. I thought maybe he's sitting at a piano lounge
piano
bar.
Man, right, there's a glass with a little change in it. Yeah.
I don't think that was the case there, but... Yeah, good. And then the violins came
how to,
in.
How to bring something that serious down to the level? nice going, Gordy.
Why add music to that? I don't, you know.
No, I think it helped.
You think?
I think it did.
It's cinematic.
Does it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to bring up something. Now, this is something that Biden did. He claimed that inflation was already 9% when he became president. It wasn't.
What was it?
This was untrue.
Oh. What was it?
Inflation was at 1.4%.
Well, that's quite a bit different.
Anyway, I just want to bring that up because the critics don't mention, they criticize that. They should have known better. Don't make that kind of claim. But they didn't mention the fact that inflation is typically tied to rapid economic growth after COVID. And I guess they consider that bad, huh? Such economic growth in 2021 after COVID was not seen in nearly 40 years. The U.S. gross domestic product in 2021 increased 5.8%, the highest growth since 1984.
Wow.
The unemployment rate also plummeted during that period and has remained at historically low levels, under 4%, since the end of that year. The economy benefited from a hefty fiscal package to help the country recover from the effects of COVID-19 despite supply chain issues that caused inflation. From there, business caused greedflation. Big oil sales dramatically collapsed during COVID, and supplies were very low, causing huge prices at the pump when demand returned. Remember, everybody started going out, and they were surprised that they didn't have the levels of petrol out there to help everybody drive around. So that is another reason why the price of gasoline at the pump went sky high. They didn't have the supplies anymore, and they had to dip into the reserves.
Right.
And now because we actually produce more oil ever in the history of the globe.
In the U.S.
I think it was the globe.
Yeah.
We have actually replenished the
reserve,
So, you know, everything is on the up.
The economy is roaring ahead.
They can complain about him making a mistake at 9% interest, or 9% inflation, but forget about all the rest.
Yeah. And on it goes, and on we go. Tomorrow we'll be at Short Stack with Mike McCabe, our special guest from Blue Jean Nation. Hope you join us then. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. So long.
Thanks for being with us today.
Is the John Gordy Show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we revisit the old Trumpster's tax returns and find out what the Chicago Trump Tower could tell us about election 2024. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Spring is in the air. Hope springs eternal. Spring fever, baby.
What are you doing?
This is radio. We like cliches to hammer home a point.
Funny you mention home. Did you know spring is the best time to find a new home?
Time to spring into action.
Or just be smart and contact the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Listings are updated every 15 minutes, rapid response, going above the ordinary, and getting you what you want. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber. That's no cliche.
Well, I'm no spring chicken, so I'll check out movetomadison.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.